Right now, it's time to talk to Fevzi Turkalp, who is editor of GadgetDetective.com. And we're going to look at some AI developments, the UK government backtracking on AI. What's the latest on this, Fevzi?
Yeah, so this is a big issue because the way that generative AI work, things like ChatGPT and similar tools, they work by essentially consuming the internet, and that includes the creative endeavours of various professionals, creative professionals. The government had made a set of proposals in the UK that the AI tools be allowed to train itself on copyrighted work unless the creators explicitly opted out. All sorts of very famous people have been up in arms about that, and the government has sort of backed off and now says it has no preferred option, because that was its preferred option. Now it's saying, no, we're going to go away and examine this in more detail.
Have a think about it.
Yeah, well, you'd have thought they would have had a think about it before they came up with their preferred option.
Yes.
I know
it's complicated, but it is a bit lame, really, isn't it? Saying, this is our position. Oh, no, now we haven't got a position. I mean, that sort of sums up the government in a way at the moment.
I think when you've got the likes of Sir Elton John telling you in no uncertain terms you've got it wrong, this government's likely to listen to them. So,
tell me what you think, but it does feel like they have got it wrong, because there should be an option. You shouldn't have to opt out of something where they're basically plundering your work. You should opt into it, shouldn't you?
Yeah, well, then there's all sorts of situations where opt-outs are used to take advantage of inertia or ignorance. I mean, it's very difficult to have a universal opt-out system anywhere. I mean, I think we should actually take one step backwards and say, to what extent is it within the gift of the UK government to control this or regulate this anyway, given that a lot of the companies, in fact, almost all the companies doing this sort of scraping are not UK companies and not explicitly operating in the UK. So I think it's difficult. There are very difficult issues about this. I mean, should anything produced by AI be labelled? What should the law be on digital replicas when we replicate people's voices or we make avatars that look and move like them? Should there be transparency about, you know, when people are talking to or dealing with an AI-based systems? And how do we give creators control, and how do we balance their desire and understandable desire for control over their works against not wishing to frighten off AI companies? The AI part of the UK economy is growing about 23 times faster than the rest of the economy. So you can see why the government doesn't want to push away that industry either.
No, absolutely. And as you say, we can't probably independently do much as a country. I've got a friend who's written two books that were published in America, and he's just told me that he's part of a class action. There's a case going on in the US, and his book is on this list, two books, and might get some money.
Yeah, I mean, all of this is, I mean, that's good, but I mean, this is a very difficult area because, you know, you have to draw a line between plagiarism and having an influence. I mean, you know, the Beatles had influences. They used to listen to rock and roll records that, you know, that used to come in through the docks in Liverpool, and that played a large part in their sound. And, you know, the classic chord progression exists throughout, you know, decades of rock and pop music. So certain things, you know, it wouldn't be appropriate to say that you can't look at this and be influenced on it. I think the problem comes to how close can it get in style and so forth before it becomes problematic. Yeah. And the fact is, this technology has not existed before, and our existing legal framework is not fit for purpose, and it will need some serious thinking. And I think the other problem is that it's a moving target. You know, even if you try and legislate for what's available and possible today, literally tomorrow something more will be possible. And then did you draft your legislation in such a way that it is flexible enough to encompass that?
Yes.
Hard.
Yes. You're probably aware of the one I was talking about. The book lawsuit is with Anthropic. Mm-hmm. And they have apparently agreed to pay $1.5 billion for training their chatbots on pirated copies of books. So, I mean, if somebody gets a little bit out of it, I'll be pleased. But as you say, yeah, Laura's got to catch up, really, hasn't it?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, Anthropic is arguably one of the more moral companies. You know, you'll know that Anthropic is a company that is trying to at least control the worst excesses of the Department of War's use of its tools in warfare. Although all the companies are in principle agreeable to having their devices used by the American government's military, so I think it is difficult. I mean, Anthropic was set up by people who left ChatGPT for reasons of morality and control and safety and so forth. So, you know, but everyone is at it. And I think it's just, it's very difficult. The bigger problem with this is that as large language models like ChatGPT and so forth get larger, they become larger language models, we're running out of data for them to consume, that there is a fear that it I mean, I don't necessarily subscribe to this, but there is a school of thought that it'll all collapse in on itself because it'll run out of data. There's quite a lot of research going on into getting AI to generate synthetic data that it can then feed upon.
Which
sounds rather incestuous. But
create data that it then feeds itself with.
Well, the thing is, if you believe that AI has the ability to be truly creative, then why not? You know, then just as we're automating everything else that humans did before, we'll automate the creation of creative works that then can be used to feed upon itself. So I can see that that might work, but that's the theory of the dead internet as well, by the way, that the internet dies because it becomes completely devoid of people. It becomes bots dealing with bots dealing with bots. And and in fact, you could say that's kind of an allegory for our society as well, that we withdraw from society or we're excluded from a machine society.
And meanwhile, Alexa is getting an AI upgrade.
Yes.
Do we want that?
Yes, I think so.
Yeah, what's it going to do?
Well, I've used it. So they've launched today Alexa Plus, although I have to say I haven't been able to use it today. So theoretically launched today. It's called Alexa Plus, and it's much more. So Alexa came about 12 years ago, and at that point there was none of this large language model stuff. It was very basic. It was, you know, basic question and answers and switching on the lights and setting the thermostat and reminders and things like that. And it wasn't very sophisticated, but it was, you know, for its day, it was very advanced. But it failed to really develop over the last 12 years. And in the last three or so years, you know, all these new companies like, you know, OpenAI's ChatGPT and Anthropic and Perplexity and all of that, they've all taken over. So Alexa Plus is a tool which is based on generative AI, much more like those other tools now. And it should be much more conversational, more natural, better at follow-up questions, and carrying out tasks as well as not just answering questions. So I guess the key difference is it lives in our homes. It connects to Echo devices, Fire TV, smart homes, that sort of thing. And it becomes like a home concierge, so it can run aspects of your domestic life, you know, again, reminders, shopping, music, TV, lights. It's actually connected to a whole range of devices. So I thought it might be a good idea just to ask it to tell us about itself or its future self. So if you don't mind, Alexa, tell me about Alexa Plus.
Hi, I am thrilled you asked. The new me is a better listener and easier to talk to. I'll also be able to get much more done for you with more personalized and thoughtful solutions. To check if you have access, just say, let's get started.
Alexa, let's get started.
Great news. You're already on the Alexa Plus early access list. I'll let you know when it's available to you.
Oh, there we go. So we're not quite there yet.
So it's not quite there, no.
No, and one of the things to say about this also is that how are they going to make money out of it? I think they're going to make money out of it because the pricing model is quite interesting. They're saying £19.99 a month. Almost no one will pay that. Mm. But if you're an Amazon Prime user in the UK, then you get it included for free. And Amazon Prime is actually cheaper than 19. So no, they don't seriously expect anyone, in my opinion, to pay £20 a month for it. They expect them to sign up to Amazon Prime if they want to use it. But I think it's, you know, I think it's got real potential because at the moment it's noticeably dumb. Even the voice, you heard it there, it was quite stilted in its speech. I expect that to improve as well. You know, we're going to get something a lot more personable. And I think the thing that, that it could do better than all the others is to be an always-on, always-available AI, whereas the others, you can talk to them, but often you're limited to a few minutes a day of a back-and-forth conversation before it says you've hit the limit for the day. This, if we're not sure exactly how it's going to work, but my sense is that it should just be there all the time, you know, much more like a Jarvis-type character from Iron Man.
Right, your personal concierge. We'll see how that goes. Maybe we'll come back in a couple of months and decide how it's give a verdict. Anyway, we've got time for maybe one quick gadget. What have you had your eye on?
Let's do one. So it's from Agfa Photo, and Agfa Photo's got a lot of resonance for me. My grandfather was a professional photographer, and I think largely my love of gadgets came about by just spending time with him. And he was an early adopter, and I used to do this. And Agfa was a big brand. It's now owned by another company, but it's good to see the name still exists. They've come up with these smart photo frames that range in size from, I think, 7 inches up to 32 inches, many of them having touch screens. So it's a smart photo frame. It's called the Really View. The big one's called the APF 3200. Imagine a Wi-Fi photo frame. One of the nice things about it is it actually looks like a photo frame. It's got it comes with a replaceable wooden frame, so you've got a dark wood frame and a sort of pine colored wood frame or no frame at all, so it can look quite modern or quite traditional. So it doesn't automatically look like a piece of technology, although it has a lot of technology built into it. The screen's a touch screen. It's got the capacity for 10,000 photos within it, even before you start sticking in memory cards and things like that. And it links to an app called Frameo. And the nice thing about that is I think one of the ways that you could use this is to give it to someone who's not very tech savvy, maybe a family member that, you know, tech has passed them by, and you without, you know, having to go and visit them, although that's a good idea to visit your loved ones, but you can actually send them pictures that will start displaying on their photo frame, so they'll be able to follow your travels as you go on holiday and all the rest of it. So just the ability to manage it for someone remotely, I think, is a really, really nice thing. As I say, in terms of the sizes, it starts at 7 inches for one of them, which is about £83, goes right up to 32-inch touchscreen, which is amazing. I had one delivered for testing, and it's the package weighs 15 kilos. I mean, it's a big old thing. That's just over £400.
What, and you'd hang it on the wall, would you?
Exactly.
A bit like a TV, but it looks like a picture.
Yeah. The smaller ones you can prop up like a small photo frame you would put on a desk or something like that. But the bigger ones are very much meant to be hung on the wall. You wouldn't try and do anything else with a 32-inch screen. But they're just... What's nice about it is that you don't immediately clock that it's a piece of technology. It's kind of integrates into a normal living space. Doesn't look like you strapped a TV set to the wall. It looks much more like a photo frame. And it's just really nice to be able to see those pictures. I mean, I have so many photos and I very rarely look at them, and I'm not a great fan of having, you know, personal photos on my phone and things, you know, just scrolling up. But in my home, you know, which is a more private space, I kind of like that. It's quite a nice way to connect with your own, you know, tens of thousands of pictures that you take but never look at. I think it's great. So I've given it 4 stars out of 5, and it's called the Agfa Photo Really View. That's REALI View. And then it starts with APF on it. You can look at them on Amazon and other retailers as well.
Okay, Fevzi, thank you very much indeed. That's Fevzi Turkulp from GadgetDetective.com.